Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode.
Welcome to this episode. We've got another fantastic guest for you, Jeffrey Chand. Now, Jeff is an acupuncturist, practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine, and a Qigong instructor from the beautiful west coast of Canada. He's been in clinical practice for over 20 years and learned the most about Qigong from his time in Taiwan, where he studied with several Qigong masters. Jeff encourages everybody to practice Qigong by finding what works for you. This could be an ancient traditional practice or a blend of Qigong and modern integrative medicine. Welcome to the THC podcast, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, Dr. Danny. Thank you so much for inviting me and making me part of your excellent podcast. It's just such great guests and great content and very consistent. So thank you.
You're most welcome, mate. So tell us a little bit about your journey, mate. Where did you and how did you get to where you are today? What's happened over the past couple of decades?
A little while, yes. Well, my interest in Qigong practice really started from a young age. I was always interested in health and wellness and medicine and healing from all parts of the world. I was lucky enough to meet a medical doctor when I was probably in about junior high or so, and he just totally inspired me. And he had such a caring, kind way of helping people, and he would help them truly in a holistic way. I know we hear this term a lot, holistic, but he really was holistic. He was able to look at the big picture and help in so many different ways. He was he had trained as a traditional Chinese medicine or TCM doctor, but he wasn't allowed to practice in Canada. So he did the next best thing and became a medical doctor. So he had the best of both worlds. And so that really inspired me to study Western medicine. But as I started to learn a little bit more about the practice and about how medicine actually works, I realized what he was mostly doing was the traditional Chinese medicine. And so he would still write prescriptions and order tests, but he was really able to add a lot of value by looking at using all the tools of TCM, like acupuncture, herbal medicine, Tui Na massage, encouraging lots of lifestyle and diet, and really just a lot of mindset and mentality ideas. And these were all ancient ideas from literally thousands of years old, but because he had the stethoscope and the prescription pad, he had the validity of being able to say it with confidence. And I think nowadays medicine has evolved quite a bit more to allow for that holistic approach, but that really inspired me at that time. And so I was always involved with competitive sports, like of all sorts. And at one point I met a coach who did a lot of high intensity athletics, but he also taught Tai Chi. And he invited me to his class, but I didn't really have an interest at the time, but I found it just so balancing, so complementary to all the high intensity exercise. And I was really fortunate to meet him at a young age as well, because it became normal. It wasn't just something that elderly people do or only certain people do. It's something that if you want to get the best performance out of your body, then you have to slow down and practice those kind of integrative arts.
Excellent. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know there's crossover and probably one comes from the other, is my understanding. What's the difference between Qigong and Tai Chi?
Yeah, so both Tai Chi and Qigong look very similar on the surface. So if you were to see a group of people practicing Qigong, you would think, oh, that's probably Tai Chi. But Tai Chi is originally in a martial art, and it has very circular, slow movements and a lot of graceful movements. Tai Chi has changed a lot from when it first began, because it was practiced traditionally a little bit faster, and it's been adjusted now for health and wellness benefits. One of the main benefits of Tai Chi is that it has circular movements. So instead of having linear, straight back and forth movements, there's a lot of circle movements. So they're great for the joints, for circulation, for getting like opening up the joints. So Tai Chi, though, is probably between 700 to 1500 years old, depending on who you talk to, because there's so many different traditions. And Qigong, though, is easily 4,000 years old. So Qigong is originally built as a way to maintain health and wellness. That's the primary focus. And it was originally developed by watching nature. So watching the way a snake moves and watching the way a tiger moves and how it hunts, or a deer walking through the forest. And so people were started to imitate the movements of these animals and realized when a tiger moves, it has a certain quality. So when we move our body in that way, it creates a certain effect. And whereas when a bird moves very gracefully, it creates another kind of effect in the body. So over thousands of years, literally, people were observing this and mimicking nature and started to notice patterns. So when you do this kind of activity, this is the effect on the body. And this is also how it affects the health. And at the same time, traditional Chinese medicine and all the concepts within it started to develop. So Qigong is basically a form of almost like health and medicine comes this part of traditional Chinese medicine, and Tai Chi is a martial art. This is only the way I'm expressing it, and I don't speak for anybody else, but really I think the underlying intention with Tai Chi is always martial art. No matter if it's a health and wellness class or an actual martial art class, eventually somebody will say, this movement here, it's called grass bird's tail, but it also has martial art application. And that's interesting and exciting, but the underlying intention though of Qigong is always about health and healing. This will help your heart. This will help your digestion. This will help your kidney meridian. And it always comes back to the health. But some people will consider some forms of modern Tai Chi to basically be a Qigong practice. You're stringing together many different moves and it's the same thing. But I think the underlying intention is dramatically different. And I think Qigong is a complete health practice all in itself. It doesn't need to be something like, okay, I'll learn that, then I'll learn Tai Chi, the real thing. Qigong can be practiced just completely on its own.
I like those distinctions. That definitely clears up any potential misunderstandings for the viewers and the listeners.
Yeah.
Excellent. So in terms of the health that you enjoy now and throughout your health journey from when you were growing up, what were some of the biggest lessons you learned about health and how to optimize your health, if you like?
Yes, I've been very fortunate to enjoy good health, but definitely there like everybody, there's the journey is always up and down and unfolding. And at one point, I didn't realize it, but I only recognized it a couple of years later, is that I experienced professional burnout. And I know you're a doctor of chiropractic, so you know all the challenges of maintaining a clinical practice. So for myself, I finished all my education and I was all excited and ready to hang up my shingle and start practicing. And little did I know that, okay, at that stage, you learned all the skills. Now you have you're allowed to practice, but now you have to figure out, how do you run a clinic? How do you interact with people, all the paperwork? And then also, how do you get people into the door? When I first, in Canada here, acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine is not covered by our health insurance. So people have to pay privately. So you have to do a lot of effort in building your practice. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that process, learning about how to run a practice, but there's a lot of energy output. And then finally, when patients would come in, I was so invested in trying to help. I would do everything I possibly could. I would write up treatment plans, write out their diet plans, their exercise, their Qigong plans, everything, and map it all out for them. And maybe 20% of patients would accept it, like, oh, great, this is wonderful. But a lot of people thought, that's nice. And then they would put it on their bookshelf and never look at it again. But I was just so motivated to try to help people. And I only realized it later on that was taking a lot of energy. And it did lead to this point where sometimes people are highly motivated to help themselves. And other times people are just looking for a little bit of a break in the day and they don't really want any of the energy that you're offering them, even if it's coming from a good place. And that ends up just depleting energy. So it was years later, I realized I think I've put out too much energy and tried, you know, just trying with trying to reach so many people. And so I had to understand that and see, like, you know, it's not just being tired, because I could always do my work. I can always show up to clinic and go through a full day and always do extracurricular activities in the evening. But there was a sense of depletion underneath. but you put the energy on, or in my case, I could practice Qigong and kind of keep going through it. And didn't recognize later on that, oh, maybe just because I could go through it doesn't mean I should have. So that was a big lesson. I'm just trying to learn how to really recognize energy expenditure and where it's getting wasted, where it's being received, and also how to truly replenish that energy. And I think a lot of people are experiencing that burnout in different ways, whether it's mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion. Physical exhaustion is easy to see, but the mental, emotional, spiritual relationship type of exhaustion is happening so often. And I don't know if this is a real term, but almost like informational exhaustion. So much information coming in, and our mind just gets too, kind of gets bogged down trying to manage it all. And so recognizing burnout was something that I almost felt like I had to experience it, because I would have just read it in textbook. Oh yeah, you're just tired. Just rest. Go for a vacation. You'll feel better. But I felt that was a really important life lesson to experience that, to also recognize it in other people.
Absolutely. Now, anyone who's watching this or listening to it, who's a practitioner themselves, myself included, I've been through it more than once. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because it's so common in practitioners that love to help people. Those people helpers, if we're not careful, can quite easily get burnt out, can't we?
Absolutely. When I started to study burnout and look at all the new research, the old research, and the practical research, that's what I find interesting to hear. Okay, somebody's been in practice for 50 years or 40 years. What do they know? And what one of the commonalities of burnout, or one of the prerequisites for it, is actually a sense of hope, which is almost sad to think about. So if when you really are hopeful, like maybe if I could just do this one treatment, or I can get them in one more time, or I can just give just a little bit more, then it'll help. And not everybody feels like that. Sometimes people say, this is my job, I'm doing my job. Once the bell rings, I'm gonna go home. But when you just feel like, oh, just do that one more thing that's going to help, that's actually the recipe for potentially burning out. Not everybody will, but it's a mechanism that we really have to be aware of. And when people get into a helping profession, healing or medicine, then we have to be really cautious about that. Okay, why are we in that? I want to help people. Okay, now you have to be very careful of managing your expectations and hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So in terms of what drives you to do the work that you do today, what are the big drivers for you, Jeff?
Well, I really like traditional Chinese medicine and TCM and acupuncture. I like it, but Qigong practice I absolutely love, and I feel so passionate about it. It's so simple, it's so easy, it's so natural, and I just want more people to know about it, because as I was mentioning earlier, like we're kind of in this information overload where there's so much coming at us, so we feel like everything is so complicated, But just to be able to stop, to breathe, to move your body gently, to strategically move the body and open and close certain areas. It's so easy. It's so simple. And if we just knew and just could remind and reinforce the fact, just do this, just do it 15, 20 minutes a day, it's going to help. I don't think it's exciting in a research scientific sort of way. So there's not a huge, like no one's making big noise about it. But when I see people who've struggled for something with something for such a long time, and they've explored every mode of treatment, and then they say, well, I'm going to practice Qigong. And it instantly, not instantly, but maybe over time, it'll create a shift that's never happened before. And I just find that so exciting. And it's just so simple. And I just want people to feel more like they have the control and they have the power within to influence their own health. Right now, you just look up health and you'll see all these different products and diet plans, and some of them are great, but some of them are just take us out of ourselves. They take us out of the feeling like I don't have what I need to be healthy and well and vibrant. I need to go and look for something else, or I need to go purchase it in a bottle. But so much of what we need is just what within ourselves. And that's what I just find so inspiring. And just seeing the results, I probably learn this much, a very small amount from my own practice and what I've learned through Qigong. And I've learned 100 times more from observing and watching people and seeing their effect over a long period of time, not just in a 8-week long class, but knowing people over 10, 15, 20 years and seeing that effect. That's what really inspires me.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So obviously in the world right now, there's quite a lot of stress, isn't there? in terms of stress on your immune system, in both in your practice with acupuncture and in terms of the work you do with Qigong, what impact have you found stress to have on your immune system?
I couldn't agree more that stress is such a big factor. I remember one of my teachers was a doctor, and he a Chinese medicine doctor, and he said 99% of illness is caused by stress. And in TCM, stress is considered an excess of any emotion. So it's not just being tight and bound and that typical version of stress. It could be an excess of grief, excess of worry or overthinking, or excess of work. So any kind of excess of energy can cause stress. That's when it affects the body. So after several years of practice, I don't know if I'd say 99% of conditions are caused by stress, but maybe about 90%. And we just see it happen in so many different ways. And sometimes you can initially assess a person. You meet them, you talk with them for a few minutes, and you can get a sense, yeah, their stress levels may be 4 out of 10 or 5 out of 10. But in TCM, you have the pulse diagnosis, the tongue diagnosis, observation of the face and the eyes. And this gives us more clues to see what's going on in the body. And a lot of times people have 8 or 9 out of 10 stress level in their body, but they don't know it. They don't feel it. And they definitely don't express it outwardly. And so stress is such a big factor. And even just people trying to keep up with everyday life. And it infiltrates in so many different ways. One way this expresses itself, and I know colleagues who are chiropractors have experienced this as well. Somebody can be very relaxed, and then you start doing a therapy on them, whether it's acupuncture, massage, or if they start doing Qigong, and then all of a sudden emotions start coming up to the surface, and memories, or sometimes people think about a rough relationship they had 15 years ago, or sometimes a conversation that they just had at work comes up, and they start thinking, I don't know why I'm thinking about this right now. Why is that coming to mind? And it's because, in a sense, the body's trapping that emotion in the body somewhere, maybe in the muscles or soft tissue, and we get it moving, and then it starts getting released, and then it comes to our consciousness. And this happens, sometimes it can be quite dramatic. I don't know if you've had any experiences like that, where people are almost, I like that term, beside themselves. Like they think that they're this, but all of a sudden there's somebody else, they're beside themselves because this emotion is getting released. And it could be emotion from that time that Timmy pushed you off the swing set, and or it could be something very conscious. But all these factors affect our stress level. And when our stress level is is activated, then we can't get into that relaxation state. And one example I always use, and I recognize that you actually had him as a guest, is Dr. Bruce Lipton's concept of growth and protection. So we can be, he was saying that in a petri dish, you can have a cell can be in a state of growth where it's healing and growing and consuming nutrition, or it could be in a state of protection where it's guarding itself. But we can't be in both states at the same time. And so quite often we're in the state of protection all the time. Stress levels are high. We're imagining a saber-toothed tiger in the forest going to jump out at us, and our body can't truly heal and protect itself. In traditional Chinese medicine and Qigong, we have this concept called Wei Qi, W-E-I Qi. So Qi is the energy or breath or feeling, and Wei means defensive. So it's like we have this defensive Qi that's around our body. And if our lungs, our kidneys, our body's healthy, then the Wei Qi is strong. But if the Wei Qi is weak because of our internal system, then we'll feel sensitive to cold, to heat, to wind. We even feel sensitive to people if our Wei Qi is too weak. So stress affects us in so many different ways, some of it immediately, but some of it can be insidious over maybe months or weeks or even years, and it wears us down.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Because we're not designed to be living in the stress response, are we? And that's what so many people live in 24/7 these days.
I sometimes wonder what it would be like to be a person from 200 or 300 years ago and just all of a sudden end up here, and just notice how loud the world is, how much information there is, how many images, how much people are reading. Reading is great, but we're just getting so much coming at us, and not to mention all the environmental factors that, I mean, we don't really know the full extent of plastics and other things that are in our environment that is affecting us, but And we almost can't help but be stressed in this sort of environment. I remember meditation teacher talking about how he doesn't actually meditate. And so his students were very confused. Well, why don't you meditate? And he said, well, he doesn't have to because he's able to be aware and conscious at all times. And he had put in years and years and years and years of meditation. So he was very familiar with that state of being calm, peaceful, blissful, and aware and mindful. And so his need for meditation was decreasing over time until the point where he realized that his need for a formal meditation had actually changed. But he also lived out in the mountains. He had a very simple life. I don't think he had any electronics and he had no distractions. People, a very slow pace of life. So if we can live like that, that's great. But most of us can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, life would be a lot more peaceful if we were, as you say, that with that guy living in the mountains. that sounds like bliss. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So in terms of a positive mindset and good health, how does Tai Chi or Qigong help us get to that place and stay in that place, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and I can speak to the form of Qigong that I like to encourage people to practice, because I know with lots of different forms of Qigong and Tai Chi, there's different principles. So I like focusing on principles versus rules. When we were talking about the difference between Tai Chi and Qigong, Qigong is very much based on principles, connection with nature, connection with self, mindfulness, being aware of the breath, moving the body and breath as one, and also intention, managing intention, being very aware of the intention during practice. Tai Chi, it totally depends on which style that's being practiced, if intention is even a factor at all. But Qigong without intention is basically just light exercise. Light exercise is fine, but if we want to make it into something that can be helpful, healing, and rejuvenating, then we need to incorporate intention. The exercises that I first learned in my probably first 6 months of practice are the same exercises I'm doing now. And if I'm practicing in another X amount of time, like 40, 50 years, I'll still be doing the same exercises. The only thing that's different is that the intention and how present a person is during their practice. That's the only thing that changes. I remember one teacher that I had, he was almost slight in his frame, like his build. And he was also very quiet in his movements and very gentle when he wasn't practicing. But as soon as he started practicing, it's almost as if he grew like twice the size, and you could feel warmth emanating from him. And it's like he wasn't literally, but it's like he was shining, like he was giving off this warmth and vibrancy. And that's because every single movement, he was so mindful and so aware of exactly what you're doing. So simple movement would be something that's called the rise and fall. Hands are down in front of the legs. And we breathe in, the hands come up to the level of the shoulders, and breathe out, the hands go down. So it's as if we're on a boat and the hands are going up and down, rolling over the waves. Such a simple exercise. You can learn it in less than a minute, but to be conscious and to be thinking about taking in good, healthy, vibrant qi with every breath and breathing out, releasing any tension, any unnecessary thoughts and emotions, that takes practice. And sometimes we can do that two or three times, and then we start thinking, what should I have for dinner? Do I have leftovers? Do I have to cook today? And then, bring ourselves back. And then, back into the practice, in the zone, find the flow state. And then, oh yeah, I have to call Becky. I haven't called her in a little while. So our mind just keeps going all over the place. But when somebody is very masterful with Qigong, they can keep their mind in that same space and keep present with it at all times. And an intention is something that I almost want to try to avoid that word, because we hear it and it's almost a cliche now, a power of intention, and we lose the influence behind it. But really having intention with what we're doing, with our work that we're doing, with conversations that we're having, with how we're living our life, having intention is so important. And I don't know how often we're actually really asked. Maybe when we're in the dating phase and our in-laws ask us, what's your intention with my daughter or my son? Maybe we're asked then, but this is the chosen profession you want to go in. Why? And this is the person you want to spend time with. Well, why? And this is what you want to do with your time and energy. And why? And I think having that clarity of intention can be so transformative. I like to speak about the idea of instinct. So not necessarily intuition, but instinct. So intuition, I think about as some information that's outside of ourselves coming in, like what are the winning bingo numbers that I'm going to play tomorrow? That would be intuition. Whereas instinct is something that's connected to our biology and our pattern recognitions. One description I heard was instinct is unconscious pattern recognitions. So we're seeing something, but we're just not aware of it. We're picking something up and putting something together, but we're just not consciously seeing this. And so I think when we have a positive intention, a clear intention, then our instinct can speak to us. And we say, well, okay, I want to build my career in this. Or I want to build my profession. What should I study? And if our intention is clear, then our instinct can say, you know what, this is the way that you should go. And we physically feel it, or we feel maybe in our heart center, we feel drawn to it, or in our mind, we feel really excited about something. And this is one of the side benefits of Qigong practices, that you can't help but ignore, or you have to pay attention to your intention. And these instincts, you can't ignore them because they get louder and louder. And sometimes we think, I'm going to do this. I know it's not good for me, but I'm going to do it anyways. And we can easily override that instinct to say, no, don't do this. But as we start practicing, that instinct gets louder and that intention gets louder, and our body says, no, don't do this. I keep waiting for there to be a wonderful scientific discovery that says intention is key in our healthcare, but nothing significant has appeared. And I've almost stopped looking for those big headlines that say that we should practice intention, but the information is there. Even one of, you've probably heard of the book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel. And he's a surgeon who also approaches his practice very spiritually as well. And he was noticing that when people are in surgery and they start perhaps bleeding, then he'll say, okay, Mr. Smith, stop bleeding. And they're under anesthesia. They can't hear or consciously do anything, but their body will actually start controlling the flow of blood just because they're getting these simple ideas and intention while they're under anesthesia. So there are lots of different ways that we can use intention and kind of prove that it does work. But I think the big headline that's going to show up on our newsfeed, I don't know if that's ever going to come.
Yeah. I loved what you said about intention there, because I've been practicing that for many, many years now. And every single morning, in fact, the night before the next day. So I'll set an intention for tomorrow, tonight, for example. Whatever it is, it could have been, I intend to attract two or three new clients to the chiropractic office, or whatever it is. The power of intention is so powerful. And I also loved what you said about, you know, when you might be doing the Qigong practice and a thought pops into your head, oh, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? And then you said, okay, let's get back to the practice. That reminds me of what my meditation teacher often says when we go away on retreats. You know, we kind of, what does she call it? A meditation check, just like a check-in. You know, thoughts come into your head, and then her phrase is, back to the mantra. So that reminds me of that when you said back to practice.
Yes, and I should probably look to make sure this is absolutely true, but I've read that when you have a autopilot engaged on a sailboat or an airplane, it keeps going off track. It goes off course, but then it makes a micro adjustment and comes back, and then it goes off the other way and makes a micro adjustment. I think that's true. Same thing with the meditation in our mind. Very rarely can we actually keep our mind so laser focused at all times. It's more likely though that we can come back to that center. And I remember one teacher talking about having a wide center. So thinking about having this space that's really easy to get into. And in the first time for trying to get to this place of, in Qigong, we call it a flow state. Maybe the first time to find it, oh, that's very difficult. But over time, that becomes easier to find, and that center becomes wider. It's kind of like having a well-worn path into the forest. Where's the path at first? There's no path. But then eventually over time, you walk it enough times, then it becomes deeper. But that only can happen over time and with repetition. And this is something that I know people often struggle with. In the we have the Qigong videos that are on YouTube, but we also have the what we call the community. And here we have like lots of different Qigong practices, and we have what's called Qi Chat. So once a month we have a live conversation. And one of the most requested topics is always about intention. How do I get more intention? How do I refine it? And I think something that I have to find creative ways of saying it because I repeat myself. But repetition is actually the biggest way to hone in and clarify that intention. Just keep going back to the path, keep walking through the same forest. And but it's not exciting. We want a new trick. We want a new technique, a new hack. But repetition is how we get there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing Tony Robbins say many, many years ago, repetition's the mother of skill, isn't it? And in anything, we've got to really master the fundamentals before we can go beyond that, don't we?
Yes. That phrase, repetition is a master of skill. I think that's so key, because, and the way we know that's true is because the skill that we're practicing right now, we've been practicing it for many years already. So if a person's used to going into work and slamming their jacket down and being upset, that's something that we've practiced. And so we've already built those skills through repetition. Some of the habits are good. Some of them are maybe not so beneficial. But when we really start looking, like, how many times did I say that? How many times did I repeat this pattern? We realize, oh, okay, I kind of did it a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in terms of your acupuncture practice and also your Qigong, who's your ideal client?
In terms of sort of Qigong approach, that's mainly where my time and energy is being focused right now. It's when people are interested in learning a skill to help themselves, that's where I feel like, okay, we can shake hands and meet in the middle. Earlier on, we were talking about burnout, and I came across this one idea of shaking hands. So when we're shaking hands, one person extends themselves, the other person extends themselves, and you meet part way. So both people are extending themselves. If a person thinks they should do something, like, I guess I should try Qigong, but they don't really want to, they're not extending themselves, then it's not going to be all that helpful, no matter what the practice is. But if they somehow feel inspired or encouraged or just a little bit curious, even just like, yeah, maybe I'll give it a try. That's who I like to speak to. And so somebody who wants to help themselves, somebody who is also seeing the value in the flow state. And I sort of mentioned that already, but the idea of that the zone, being in the zone, where you just feel like everything is working correctly, everything is just flowing very easily, and you just feel like the sense of openness in your body and your mind feels really relaxed and unwound. And also the time just goes by quickly when people see the value in that and look for that. That's what I really like. And and also people who are also willing to embrace their own experience. So when learning Qigong, there practically we can learn it as a child with teachers and masters, and then we can learn it as an adult in different classes. But then nowadays we're trying to learn things virtually by ourselves online in the comfort of our own home, which is great, but the skills of how we learn have to shift. So quite often, if we're learning with the master in the forest and in the mountains, then often that idea is just let go of everything you know, forget everything you know, and I'm going to fill your cup up, your empty cup up. And that sounds very nice in movies and in stories, but we all of us have really valuable experiences. And maybe it was a time that we really got into running when we were a kid and we were doing really well. Now we're away from it for 30 years and we want to get back to it. And there's life lessons that we've learned at that time. So when people are willing to embrace their own experience and their own life lessons, their own skills, and fuse that together with Qigong practice, with the mindfulness, with meditation, with journaling, all these kind of things, that's when I think it's really exciting. And that's what I've learned the most from people who've taken Qigong classes and people in the community. Like, they just are putting things together themselves. And I think that's where I think it's perhaps a good fit because I rarely know this is the right thing for you. This is what you should do. I hardly ever know that, even after all these years of practice. But I can always encourage a person to find their own way. And if a person says, yes, I want to do that, that's, I think, a good match.
Excellent. Yeah. Good stuff, Jeff. So thanks for sharing all this information with us today and some of the big learnings that you've learned in the past 20 odd years. Where's the best place that people can find you online, if they reach out, connect with you, and maybe do some Qigong with you?
Sure. Yes. So the best place is our website, which is qigongforvitality.com. And so we have lots of free Qigong practices there. And we have a YouTube channel called Think Vitality, and even just my name, Jeffrey Chand, on YouTube will show lots of different videos. And we also put together a page. It's qigongforvitality.com/Dr. Danny. And there's a few resources there and a free, really simple Qigong practice. It was actually filmed out inside of the middle of a forest and partway through a deer hopped through. And it was behind me. And usually in Qigong practice, we always think about the deer being very graceful and soft and supple. And but this deer was crashing through the forest, and I was trying my best not to react to it. But the video editors decided to zoom in on my face to show the to show me trying to manage my own reaction to it. But that's on that page. And and so if a person's really interested in diving into Qigong practice, we have, I think I mentioned, the Community, and this is an online library of many different practices, and we're always adding to it. We have short practices under 15 minutes and longer ones up to about 45 to an hour, minutes to an hour. And we talk about the different concepts of Qigong, and we have these live Qi chats, and yeah, and it's really interesting because there's a private forum where lots of people share their own experience. And so we have people who have lots of experience in one area, maybe yoga or Reiki or their medical doctor, and they're sharing all their experience. And it's just really, really fantastic because sometimes we end up doing something like meditation or Qigong, and we end up feeling like we're kind of alone. We're a little bit of the odd person and in our circle or our family, but here it's kind of nice to meet with like-minded people. So yes, qigongforvitality.com, Dr. Danny, and there'll be all the resources there.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Jeff. Really appreciate that. And I'll thank you for on behalf of the viewers and listeners as well for those resources. That's fantastic. Now you've got a really busy day coming up in practice, haven't you? Because it's the beginning of your day. It's the end of ours.
Yes.
So thank you for taking out the time from your busy practice and busy life to spend some time with us. It's been much appreciated to have you as a guest on the THT podcast, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Danny. I appreciate again being invited, but also what you're doing, like the way you elicit questions and you listen to people, and you it's just fantastic what you're doing. And I hope your podcast continues to grow and your influence. I really like what you're doing. So thank you for doing that and offering that to everybody.
No worries, mate. Thanks again. Have a good day.
You too.
You've been listening to the THT podcast with myself, Dr. Danny Scarhill. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or any one of the other outlets where we stream. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/totalhealthtransformation. You can also find more information about myself on my website, dannyscarhill.com, where you'll find lots of fantastic information and some free products for you as well. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.